Rat.
Rose.
Are you an aspiring Jedi, or do you dabble with the dark side of the Force?
Regardless of whether you fancy yourself a defender of the light or an aspiring Sith Lord, you're going to need a lightsaber.
Podcast Stardust is pleased to partner with Sabermasters, the creators of high-quality, durable, and affordable lightsabers.
Sabermasters is preparing to launch the Ultimate Lightsaber 2.0, and right now you can get two for the price of one.
So, check out the link in our show notes and go get your Ultimate Lightsabers from Sabermasters.
And don't forget to use our referral code Stardust to save $10 at checkout.
And each purchase using our referral code helps support Podcast Stardust.
Hey, this is Catherine Tabor, Senator Padme Amidala from Star Wars The Clone Wars, and you're listening to Jay and Dennis on Podcast Stardust. Stay on the light side.
Hello, and welcome to Podcast Stardust. This is the fully armed and operational podcast dedicated to Star Wars news, reviews, and discussion. I'm Dennis Keithley.
And I'm Jay Krebs.
And our rewatch of The Clone Wars continues with this episode. But before we get back to The Clone Wars, Jay, where can everyone find us around the internet?
All right. Well, we are very easily found on Facebook, Instagram, and X at Podcast Stardust.
All right. The disc is aligned. The signal is boosted to maximum output. The shield is down. And we are now broadcasting to the galaxy. So once again, we are discussing episode 2 of season 1 of The Clone Wars. That's called Rising Malevolence. And I got to say, I've been pretty pleased with the reaction that we got last week to starting off this rewatch. I had a number of people reach out to me and say, oh, this is so cool that you guys are doing it. So
awesome.
Yeah, I think there's a real hunger for this type of content. So I'm glad everyone enjoyed it and welcome back. And if you're joining us for the first time, then welcome there. So with that having been said, Jay, you want to go ahead and give us the summary of this episode?
Absolutely. Here we go. After Plo Koon's fleet is destroyed by a Separatist secret weapon in the Abrogado system, Ahsoka desperately wants to find her old friend. However, the Jedi Council and Chancellor Palpatine have ordered Anakin's fleet to maintain its position. Despite that, Anakin takes Ahsoka and the Twilight on an unsanctioned rescue mission. Just when it looks like all hope is lost, Ahsoka senses Plo Koon through the Force. She and Anakin rescue the Jedi Master and some clones and manage to escape before the Separatist secret weapon, the Malevolence, can destroy them.
All right. So I think we're going to do this like the same way we did last episode. And let's kick it off by, you know, what did you think about when you watched this? And you know, how did it compare to your memories from the first time you saw this episode?
Well, the first thing that stood out to me was just how high-pitched Anakin and Ahsoka's voices were. Uh-huh. And, you know, it's something that's, you know, so kind of weird to point out, but I guess it's just kind of part and parcel of how much those characters ended up evolving, you know, over mm-hmm. the course of the Clone Wars. And, you know, I tend to forget sometimes that this is when Ahsoka is just, you know, barely what, 13 years old. And then Anakin is just kind of coming into his own as a Jedi Master himself, you know, a master to Ahsoka, I should say. But at any rate, you know, there was that part of it. And then, you know, some of the kind of throwbacks to the way that this felt when it first came out was just so new and it was so different. And seeing Grievous, you know, for the first time in this, I remember thinking to myself, oh my gosh, this is so cool. You know, this mm-hmm. is the way we get to see him in animation as opposed to, you know, Revenge of the Sith. So that was super cool.
Yeah. One of the things that occurred to me when I was watching was, I can't remember which scene it was, but it may have been Anakin and Ahsoka that were doing it, but they were walking and I was like, man, are they stiff?
Yes. I thought
compared to recent season, you know, the later seasons of the Clone Wars, then of course the Bad Batch and the like there. I was like, wow, you know, that's just some part of the animation they had to work out there. But it's like, man, they got back pain, joint pain. What's going on here with that? But, and then the other thing, yeah, I mean, this is you know, excluding the movie, this is the first time Anakin, Ahsoka, Plo Koon, Obi-Wan Kenobi, Chancellor Palpatine, you know, show up in this. And most of those characters only have small roles. But to your point, you know, Ahsoka is very impetuous in this one. Easily frustrated with stuff. And, you know, and I kind of appreciated how quick she was to, like, point out to Anakin, it's like, it's not fair. She didn't say that, but that was the gist. It's like, you know, it's like, oh, so it's okay when you disobey the council, but not when I do the, and you could just see teenagers do that all the time. You know, it's you know, oh, the world's against them and the injustice of it all when it came to that. Again, compared to the Ahsoka we've been used to in later seasons of the Clone Wars, Rebels, and of course the Ahsoka live action, who, you know, so much more adult, so much more grown up, so much more mature. And I like that. I like that we had this immature Ahsoka. I mean, she's not completely immature, but she's very much a kid still, and it really comes through.
Oh yeah, definitely. And I will say, at the time, this was when, for anyone that's been listening to us for any length of time, you know, even though I love Ahsoka now, and I obviously, because I cosplay her, I did not like Ahsoka. And I remember when I first watched this, just being so annoyed and just so grating, because of course we get the sky guy thing at the end and so on and so forth. But I will say that this is probably the first spark of the like that I eventually had for her, in that I liked the way that she went about being so dedicated to Plo Koon. And I do remember that. And this was just that first little spark that I was like, okay, this could maybe be a character that I would like. And she's definitely giving Anakin all he wants for, you know, trying, not really challenging him, but yet she was. And I appreciate it so much more looking back on it now than I did at the time. So that's the beauty of going back and watching these again.
Yeah. The other thing to stand out to me is, like, Anakin in this, compared to where we saw him at the end of Attack of the Clones. And like, it's really not the same guy.
No.
Even though there's not all that much time difference between then and now here. I mean, when I think about Anakin and the Attack of the Clones, and I've seen that more recently than I've seen this episode, like, that guy was not ready for a Padawan. Not in the slightest. And I wouldn't have given him one either. I understand the reasoning that they had in the movie, which is just kind of like putting him together with someone that he kind of would have to take responsibility for and tamp down some of those instincts and you know, just that wild flair that Ahsoka can have from time, like, might help him grow up and bring himself under control. But, you know, at one point Yoda says putting these two together may have been a mistake.
Yeah.
I did laugh that. It's like, it was a good idea at the time, but in retrospect, it's like, oh shoot, what did we do?
For sure.
Yeah. So this is the second episode in a row where we have a Jedi dealing with clones in a high stress situation. Specifically, we've got Plo Koon in an escape pod with a number of clones, and they're trying to stay alive in the face of, you know, the malevolence is out there. It's just destroyed their fleet. There is this Jedi hunter ship being driven by droids that are finding escape pods and killing the clones inside. And they don't believe that the Republic, the Jedi, and the other clones are going to come for them, because that would be too dangerous to do. And we've got Plo Koon saying things like, you know, I value your lives more than I do, you know, this ship or this mission or anything like that. So what'd you think about all that?
Well, you know, it kind of goes back to what we've talked about before with the clones and what their purpose is and how even they've evolved from the very first episodes that we've seen of the Clone Wars, that they really were basically programmed to believe that they were expendable and that no one really cared about them and that they were there simply to do a duty. And as much as, even though, you know, there's sort of a kind of a juxtaposition between that idea and the fact that they were so desperate to single themselves out as individuals, it almost like doesn't line up. Like, no one cares about us, but yet we want to prove our individuality. But this is the first time I think that they really felt from someone like Plo Koon. And, you know, again, like you said, even with Yoda in the last episode, that they started to feel like they were valued and that they were more than just property and that they were more than just the mission or the purpose that they served. And so I think that this, you know, these things like this really set in motion the evolution of the clones. And so getting to go back and sort of see the genesis of that in these kinds of episodes is really awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm in complete agreement with that. It was, you know, at the time watching this back in the day, just kind of went over my head, you know, Plo Koon being, you know, there and reassuring for the clones and kept telling them, you know, hey, we can't give up. I'm not giving up. We're going to fight this. We're going to do everything we can. And then, you know, he leads the charge right out into space without a suit because he can somehow survive the pressure of out of space for a short time. You know, he really put on the line for them and, you know, was, I don't want to say distraught, but, you know, he was not happy to see the droids killing those other clones either.
Right.
So, on the flip side, we of course have the battle droids. I don't know about you, but on this viewing, I found them incredibly creepy because yes. There they are in these little hunter craft, which essentially have four mandibles or claws or something like that. And then they would go clamp on to an escape pod, and then battle droids with little jetpacks would fly over to the pod and then bust it open and thereby suffocate or expose all the clones inside to the void of space so that they would die. One, it hit me this time. I was like, this is being shown to kids.
these
clones just being flushed out into space and dying. And two, you know, the one battle droid is just gleefully humming the Imperial March as he flies one of these hunter pods over to an escape pod to do the dirty work.
Is that what he was humming? Because I was trying to figure out if it was something like that, but was that actually the Imperial March?
That's what the trivia guide said.
That is crazy.
Yeah. But, you know, and then they're just kind of like, you know, ha, 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 and, you know, just whistle while you work almost about it. Mm-hmm. But how'd that strike you?
Yeah, creepy is the perfect word for it, because I was kind of thinking that too. And just the fact that, you know, they're very almost menacing to a like a horror movie kind of a level in a way, because at one point they're sawing open or prying open these pods, and then you see this clone flying out into space and they go, oh, there they go.
Yeah.
Like, yep. All right. Next one. Let's do this. You know, very matter of fact. Yeah. It was very different.
I'm trying to decide if it would have been more creepy if they were just so cold about it. Or if it would have been scarier or more menacing that way, but this way does come off as creepy. You know, here they are just gleefully doing this thing.
Mm-hmm. And I think in the first episode, they were already established as being goofy, you know, with the rudder, 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 and this is not in my programming, you know, and all these other things that now that sort of MO has been established, that pulling back from that would seem almost unnatural. You know what I mean? And I'm with you. It would have been a little bit less creepy had they just been all business and all mechanical and all robotic about it. And then, you know, because you could understand that, okay, this is their programming, but the fact that they were almost finding delight in it.
Yeah.
That's what, you know, like you said, the humming and the whole nine yards.
Yeah. I mean, cause it could have come off as certainly missing if they were using voices more akin to what they had in the Phantom Menace. You know, it's like,
right.
You know, must terminate the clones and, you know, closing in on escape, that type of thing. But just been very matter of fact about it. But yeah, it was just like a psychotic clown, the way the battle droids came off here. So one of the things that occurred to me on this is this relationship between Ahsoka and Plo Koon and, you know, Kotu Yah, little Ahsoka. But we all know Plo Koon, and it's kind of alluded to in this episode, was the one that found Ahsoka and brought her to the Jedi Temple. And Ahsoka describes him as her oldest friend. And she doggedly refuses to leave the Abrogato system until they found him. You know, she spoke out of turn when they were talking to the Jedi Council, even after Anakin had told her, only speak if spoken to. And then they get there and she sasses back at Anakin when she realizes where they were, and he's pointing out, you know, it's the way you disobey the Jedi Council that I'm trying to teach you here. And then she reaches out in the Force and she kind of figures out where Plo Koon is, and then they rescue him. And then at the end, there was this big hug and big embrace. How did you feel about that? And the reason why I bring it up is that, you know, last week you had brought up some concern about attachment with Yoda and the clones. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And now we have this big display of affection between Ahsoka, well, from Ahsoka towards Plo Koon.
Right. And it's definitely reciprocated as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, just in the way that they have those little, not terms of endearment, but the way that they greeted each other, as you mentioned, too. Mm-hmm. And just kind of stepping back for just a second, too, the way that Ahsoka says, he's my oldest friend, kind of mm-hmm. reminded me of Anakin in The Phantom Menace saying, yeah, I've been flying all my life, you know, mm-hmm. kind of a thing. Yeah, because she's so old that she would have this old friend.
Yeah.
But of course, to her experience, that would be her oldest friend. But yeah, the whole attachment thing is interesting because it is for a youngling or a Padawan like Ahsoka, you could kind of understand where there still may be some blurred lines between what truly is attachment versus what is a relationship between Jedi, you know, working relationship or an appreciative relationship or whatever the case may be. But the fact that Plo Koon was so attuned to Ahsoka's force sense too is something that is worth note. I mean, I'm not sitting here going to, you know, pass judgment on Plo Koon and saying, oh, he's too attached to Ahsoka or whatever. I mean, obviously he has compassion for her. And so that might spark a deeper type of connection with her as well because of the fact that he took her from her home planet and quote unquote rescued her.
Yeah. See, from my perspective, Plo Koon was doing like a compassionate mentor type of a thing. And I didn't sense a whole lot of like attachment there. You know, that was a nice greeting. He returned a nice greeting that Ahsoka gave him. And that was respectful for him to do so. And he was encouraging of Ahsoka, but I didn't sense like, you know, Ahsoka, see, I'm a little concerned about where the line is on attachment when it comes to this episode, because, you know, the way I've always looked at it, it's like, it's okay to show compassion and it's okay to be concerned about somebody. It's when you get to that point, what Yoda was advising Anakin about in Revenge of the Sith, it's like, you know, you can't be so afraid of losing someone, you know, and if they pass away, mourn them, do not, you know, rejoice that they're not one of the Force. Cold comfort. I realize that only a Jedi who's well-practiced could get away with. But here we are with Ahsoka refusing to give up on this in the face of orders and but she's been told is that, you know, we got a very dangerous situation out here. There is a separate super weapon. And if we disperse our fleets the wrong way, we're exposing them to being destroyed. And yet she's disobeying all these orders to save an old friend. And she gets frustrated about it.
Mm-hmm.
And if there wasn't all that frustration and this like blatant disobedience, and she wasn't so emotional about it, I wouldn't be questioning it, but it did seem like she was quite emotional about, you know, fear leads to anger. There was a fear on Ahsoka's part. Plo Koon wasn't exhibiting any fear in this episode.
No,
he was confident. Mm-hmm. I don't want to overstate it, but, you know, there was a rising panic with her over
mm-hmm.
this.
Mm-hmm. And I think some of that, too, is just her inexperience as a young Padawan. Mm-hmm. And like I said, she doesn't really know at this point where to truly draw the line. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not really sure that this experience necessarily helped in that, because in a way, it does foster the sense of really deep empathy that Ahsoka does have throughout her entire life, whether she's under Anakin's tutelage or not, and that she really does put others before herself. And that's always been part of her character. But you're right, in this instance, it does seem very fearful, as you said, that fear could have worked against her, you know, in the long run. Thankfully, it didn't. But yeah, those are some really great observations. But switching gears real quickly, did you have anything else to say?
Well, I was just simply going to ask you is that, you know, so what is the difference between her and Anakin in this regard? I mean, for me, it is Anakin was willing to cross boundaries that I don't think Ahsoka would have. You know, mm-hmm. she's not looking up dark side techniques in order to save mm-hmm. Plo Koon in this situation. She's not calling on forbidden force practices in order to do this. And at the end of this episode, Anakin's praising her as opposed to cautioning against this type of attachment, you know, he's bragging about it. You know, it's like, it was all Ahsoka. She never gave up on you, Master Plo. And then, you know, when he's getting ready to go face the council for disobeying orders, he's like, come on, Snips, you know, you know, if I'm going to get in trouble, you know, you're coming with me because this was your idea. And so, you know, he doesn't, in some level, he seems to approve, but, and, you know, they're master and apprentice. But again, I think that's probably, now that we've talked this out, I think that's maybe the difference is that there was a line she was not willing to cross, but she saw that there was still an opportunity there and they didn't have to leave, even though they were told. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of it too is the fact that with Anakin, a lot of his comes down to romantic love is a different kind of love than what the affection that Ahsoka had for Plo Koon, you know, whether as far as him being her oldest friend is concerned. And, you know, you've mentioned this several times before, is the idea of possessing someone. Yeah. And that definitely was not the case for Ahsoka, you know, in this instance. So, and then she calls him Sky Guy, which of course is just the icing on the cake there.
Yeah.
But at any rate, I think, you know, there is a completely different type of affection that's happening. And so that can steer the quote unquote attachment in that way as well.
Right.
So, yeah, but my other thought was I wanted to ask you, and I realized that obviously for the series and the storytelling, the reason why Ahsoka is Anakin's Padawan is because that's the way it was supposed to be. But let's just kind of philosophize, if that's even a word, for a second here and just say, do you think that there was any reason why Ahsoka couldn't have been Plo Koon's Padawan? And should that maybe have actually been the assignment? Because Plo Koon didn't have a Padawan at the time. Or do you think it was just that he wasn't willing or ready to take one on?
I think the answer to that is by the time she was ready to be a Padawan, he was on the Jedi Council.
Ah, okay.
And they aren't supposed to have Padawans. I mean, that was
that
a
makes sense.
Big deal back in the Brotherhood novel that, you know, when, or no, not that one, Master Apprentice, maybe, when Qui-Gon was being offered a seat on the Jedi Council and Obi-Wan was like, well, that's what's going to happen to me.
What's going to happen have a new, to me?
Yeah, I'd have to have a new master. And he was a little bit resentful about that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. I didn't even think about that. You're absolutely right about the master Jedi Council thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so the Malevolence, it's this separatist super weapon, and it creates gigantic ion spheres or disks, whatever you want to call them, that can disable like an entire fleet at one time, and then it swoops in for the kill after it's done so. What'd you think about it?
Oh, I think it's super cool technology. And, you know, there was reasons why obviously they didn't want any survivors and they didn't want any witnesses to this because they wanted to keep it such a secret. And so I just really loved it at the end where Grievous was basically getting the rolled up newspaper for failing this whole thing. And I will take this up with my master, your failure, you know, kind of thing. But it's I guess I would love to have seen this being utilized in other areas of Star Wars. And I know that there's been some smaller scale kinds of things, obviously, with the ion cannons and this type of weaponry, but that's pretty major in this one for sure. Yeah. And understandable why they're trying to put it to rest.
Yeah. It's funny. You brought up the whole Grievous and Dooku thing there. And I like this episode. I like it a lot. It's a lot of fun. It's enjoyable, but I do think it's a little funny. Some of the stuff that happened with Grievous and Dooku. Okay. Starting off with the fact that this separatist secret weapon's been out there, and it's already destroyed other ships and other fleets. It's known about that. But then they come across Plo Koon's fleet, and I think it was Dooku says to Grievous, is like, oh, this will be a good test of our new weapon. I'm like, no, you've already been using it. It's, you know, that's so I don't know if that's just a bit of a continuity error or something they didn't think about when they were putting the whole thing together. And two, I thought it was just this. I think they were trying to make Dooku live up to Vader's reputation with the, my underling has failed me and how dare you fail me? Cause like, you know, an officer fails Vader, he force chokes him. Mm-hmm. And so it's just like the absolute, you cannot fail at anything. It's, you know, our you know, we cannot ever be outsmarted by our enemy. They may not have had a better tactic, a better person on the field, yada, yada, yada. Again, I don't want to overstate or overblow it, but I that kind of stuck out to me. It's like, okay, you know, so your super weapon doesn't fire its ion disc fast enough and the guy got away. That's a flaw with the weapon.
Right.
So I don't know you can hold the guy pulling the trigger on that one accountable.
Right. But you know, that always happens. I mean, mm-hmm. look at Krennic, look at, you know, it's like the poodoo rolls downhill kind of a thing.
Indeed. Indeed. Okay. And the last thing I've got, and then if there's anything else you want to talk about, we can. I didn't notice this like the first several times I watched it, but it's like how adamant the Chancellor is that like no one really go look for the separate secret weapon. And, you know, at first it's nominally and plausibly because, you know, he's part of the strategy that the Republic is using, and mm-hmm. we can't leave our fleets unprotected by dispersing them to look for this weapon. But really, I think it is because he's also Darth Sidious and he doesn't want anyone discovering this weapon right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, so when he's kind of admonishing Anakin, it's like, why are you out of place? You need to get back. And, you know, he's telling the Jedi similar things. It's like, you know, we can't waste our resources going and looking for this. You know, we can't suffer any more losses. It's really like artificial concern. It's because he's got a less lot invested in malevolence.
Oh yeah. And you know, it's the same thing with us rewatching The Phantom Menace too. I see that from such a totally different lens now. Mm-hmm. And so you can totally see that double-edged sword that's going on with everything that he does. And you realize that every move he makes, every decision that he makes, everything that he says is part of the long game. And mm-hmm. that's the only thing that it is.
That's right.
So, yeah.
Anything about this episode, anything else about this episode stand out to you?
Nothing really plot point wise, but every time they would say abrogato, I kept thinking of affogato, which is, you know, ice cream with strong coffee poured over top of it.
Oh, okay.
So I'm like, they're in a very delicious system, the affogato system. I just kept giggling the entire time. So again, absolutely nothing to do with the plot, just my own warped sense of humor.
Yeah. I kind of enjoyed the almost sibling-like teasing that was happening between R2 and Ahsoka mm-hmm. in this. You know, it's like, you know, oh, sorry, little guy. You had to shut him down so that they didn't discover it. And then, of course, the big mistake that they made in not shutting down the medical droid.
Right.
Where they got discovered by the malice. Little elements like that I thought were pretty cool and mm-hmm. really did a lot for this episode as well.
Oh, I agree. And, of course, you know, Ahsoka calling R2 R2E, which sticks. And that's something that she even does in season 7, which is so endearing when it comes back mm-hmm. around that way too.
Yeah. It sounds better in season 7 though. Than it
does. So.
All right. Well, if there's nothing else, then all that's left to do is to thank everyone for joining us for this episode of Podcast Artists and our rewatch of the Clone Wars. And like I said, it's been some positive reaction just from the first one of these we did. And if you're interested in joining us on a weekly basis, then hit that subscribe button on your podcatcher of choice if you haven't already done so, and you'll get those episodes downloaded to you automatically at the beginning of each week while we're doing this. We'll be taking some breaks to cover other things here and there, but we're having fun, so I don't see this ending anytime soon. And while you're at it, head over to RetroZep.com, and you can catch our entire catalog of shows over there beyond the past 100 or 200 that are likely to show up in your podcatcher. And while you're at RetroZep, you can check out some other great shows such as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, Dunecast, Love, Death, and Robots Plus, and Warp Trails. So lots to offer over there, plus many, many more shows. We are always looking for our listeners to leave us ratings and reviews on their podcatcher choice, especially if that's Apple Podcasts. And if you leave that 5-star rating review and it's somewhere I can find it, then I'll make sure I read it on the air. And we'd also love it if you could help the show grow by sharing it on social media with your friends. So with that in mind, Jay, you want to remind everybody where we can be found on social media and elsewhere on the internet.
You got it. And we always appreciate comments and interactions on our social media as well, which is Instagram, Facebook, and X at Podcast Stardust. Very convenient. And we also have 2 YouTube outlets. So we have the typical regular YouTube as well as YouTube Music. So you could head over to both of those, like, subscribe, share those out. And those also support comments as well. So you can interact with us there. And we do have a Discord room on the RetroZap Discord server as well. So you can hit the link up in our show notes notes for that, as well as our Tee Public store. So we have 7 different show logo designs available on tons of different products. So whether you are in need of some apparel, home goods, or something in between, you can pick that up at Tee Public. So once again, the link is at our show notes, or you can just hit us right up on teepublic.com/user/podcaststardust. And one other place that you can check out some wonderful fun things is on Sabermasters. So sabermasters.com, lots of battle ready sabers over there, really awesome sabers. And so if you're in the market for all things lightsabery, you can head over there. And once again, the link to that will be in our show notes. If you do happen to do some shopping and you find some things that you like, make sure that you add the code Stardust at your checkout and you'll receive an extra $10 off. And that also does help to support our show.
Okay, Jay, before we get out of here, remind everybody what you got going on with cosplay.
You got it. So speaking of Ahsoka, I am Ahsoka from seasons 3 through 5. So not the tube top version that we see here. and then I'm also 2 different versions of Hera. So from the Rebels series, as well as the Ahsoka series, the Fourth Sister Inquisitor from the Kenobi series, as well as my original concept Mandalorian based on Tahiri Vela. And there's some other things in there thrown in as well. Sometimes Leia, sometimes X-Wing pilots. You just never know what you're going to find. So join the fun at j.snipscosplay on Instagram.
All right. Upcoming on the show on Wednesday, it is the next installment of our series looking at The Phantom Menace for its 25th anniversary. And then on Friday, it's our weekly look at Star Wars news. So thanks for listening to episode 770 of Podcast Stardust, everyone. Have a great week. And until next time, may the Force be with you.